Welcome. You guys ready to worship? Let's worship. Raise a hallelujah. So no matter what you've been going through, you may have had a storm even this morning. It's storming outside. It may have been a year of storms. It may seem like a lifetime, but you know what? Just give your praise to the Lord and watch him just do what he does. He brings life. So our God is life. Amen? All right, raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief.
We walk by faith, not by sight.
I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of a storm. Louder and louder. Gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes.
Hope.
Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King.
Storm. You guys know that praise breaks chains. You know, Paul and Silas were used to do something positive, and they were put in prison. And rather than wallowing, they worshiped. So there may be things in our life going on totally out of our control. Just let the Lord do what he's going to do. There was salvation that happened that night. The earth shook and chains were broken. So as you worship, may those chains come off in Jesus' name. So let's sing.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise.
Holy Spirit flow.
Death is defeated, the King is alive. Gonna hear my rings up from the ashes.
alive in us, if we've received you as our Lord and Savior, God, we can give you praise and thanks, God. We thank you that we can proclaim victory in your name. We fight from victory to victory because the battle does not belong to us. God, as we cast our cares on you, you care for us, God. In due time, you lift us up as we humble ourselves before you. God, I pray this day that chains would truly be broken in your name, Jesus. God, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would show up in a magnificent way like never before. God, meet us right where we are. God, on this Sunday morning, we showed up. God, and we believe by faith that you're going to have your way, God. We just praise you. We thank you with an expectant heart. By faith, let hope arise and the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus.
One with God, the Lord was found. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ.
Jesus, we lift up your name. Just sing Jesus. Jesus, there's no name above your name. The sound of your name, Jesus, the enemy has to flee. Speak your name, Jesus. Just full surrendering to your will. God, may your sweet Holy Spirit just speak to us this day. God, speak a word of truth, God. If we have received Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are a part of that family. We do not need to fear the terrors of the night nor the arrows that fly by day. And we are more than conquerors through Christ. And as we put that armor on, and we put that shield of faith on, and we hold up our sword, and we speak for truth, the enemy will be defeated in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So believe the truth. Believe the truth. The truth will set you free. Knowing God's word is where your freedom is. Amen? Amen. And you unravel me. Melody, and you surround me with sound deliverance, and deliverance from my enemy to all my fears. Oh God, let's sing that again. You unravel me with a melody. May you sing a song like never before. With the sun full of surrender, the deliverance from my enemy to all my fears are gone. No longer, and I'm no longer scared to fear. I am a child. Slave to sin, no longer a slave to those thought patterns that have held you bound and captive, no longer a slave. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. the Bible, the very, you know, Genesis, he talks about, in the beginning God created man, and he created him in his what? In his image. And God's image is a good thing. His nature is good. His nature is love. And he loves us. And through Christ, you can be no longer a slave to sin. You can be no longer a slave to fear. You can be no longer a slave to all those things that have kept us bound. Amen. Was it Paul that wrote, you know, he was a bondservant to who? We want to make a choice to allow our lives to be given over to the good shepherd who's going to lead us in paths of righteousness. Why? For his namesake. And the Bible tells us that surely in goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And the Bible tells us that his mercies are new every day. Every day. He gives us what we don't deserve, and he doesn't give us what we do. But the one thing that he does, he gives us life. Eternal life. And that's worth, we're singing about. Amazing love that welcomes me. Kindness of mercy that bought with love wholeheartedly my soul undeservedly. Just make that place where you are an altar. If you want to come to the altar, we're going to sing God.
God, you're so good. This life brings suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me.
Calvary. your God. Make him the only God in your life. Tell him, God, I want you to be mine. Jesus, I want you to be that one thing in my life that I turn to. Not the drugs, not the food, not a person, not the addiction, not the porn, other places, other things. But God, may you be that one thing above all gods. God, renew our minds this day, God, as we sing these words. May you be glorified in our lives in a whole new way. Been there. We can trust you. We can trust your word. Your word is pure. It's holy. It's true. And you are our firm foundation, Lord God. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, be glorified in this house, Lord, in every way. Thank you for being in us, being with us here this day, God. Holy Spirit, just have your way. Just tell him, have your way. Jesus, have your way in me. Thank you for being my Savior. God, thank you for being my God. Surrender it all to you. I give you my life. I lay it down. Then I praise you in Jesus' name. And I exalt. Things before you. I'm sorry for the other gods that I've had. You want want to see revival. You want to see those dead places come back to life. Let him fill those places. Let Jesus be the one to fill those places. Amen. He will. His desire is that none should perish. You just say, Jesus, be mine. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to take over those places where those other spirits have either oppressed me or possessed me. Let him be the Lord of your life. Let him be your Savior. Jesus, we praise you.
Hallelujah. Do you want to exalt him today? You know, he calls upon our hearts. He wants to draw us close to him. When we exalt his name, we lift him on high. We're drawn to him during those times. You know, he paid the price for us. When he died on that cross, he did it because he loves us. And we exalt his name above all names for that gift. For that gift of salvation is why we exalt the name of Jesus above all names. For he is our Lord. He is our Savior. He restores our hearts. He restores our mind. He raises us up in our times of need. And all we have to do is call upon the name of Jesus. We call upon the name of Jesus. And he sends the Holy Spirit to us to strengthen us, to build us up, to give us wisdom, to give us healing. And all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Isn't it a blessing to see joy up here? Amen. Thank you, Joy. Thank you. Amen. I walked in and seen her sitting up there, and I got excited. I got excited because this is our future. This is our future here. Someday the Lord will use her as being a worship leader. Amen? Amen. That is awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is good, as we all know. And as you all know, you can see there's a lot of people gone today. There's some people that need some prayer. Steve and Charlene. Steve continually needs to be prayer. He's still battling with these illnesses that keep coming upon his body, and infections and colds. And, you know, when you have a heart transplant, the small thing can be a lot. And so continue to keep Steve in your prayers. And Charlene, Father, then we also, how many of you remember Roy Brewer, who's ministered here many times? We need to be lifting him up in prayer. He has, the devil is trying to attack his body, I'll put it to you that way. And we need to come against that he can continue to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have some unspoken prayer requests in the room today that people have mentioned to me. And then we also need to pray for the Friendship House and for Diana, right? And so the Lord would touch her body. She needs a touch. And, of course, we need to continue to pray for the entire body. How many of you know all of us need prayer? Amen. Okay? I need prayer every day because I can get myself in trouble pretty quick. But God is good. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I always thank my prayer warriors over here that pray for me all the time, because I know that through their prayers, God has allowed me to do what he's called me to do. Hallelujah. So we have some birthdays. Terry over here, he's going to be 29 again. Terry's birthday is the 16th. Debbie Moran hiding in the corner back here, she's going to have a birthday on the 18th. And then over here, Penelope that just left has a birthday, and Christine has a birthday. So we got some birthday people in here, so give them a hug and tell them you love them. And then a couple anniversaries, the Carleys on the 18th and Tim and Pam Pohl on the 19th. So I think Tim and Pam Pohl got married in 1980. I think they got in 81. 80 or 81. So they've been married quite a while. So make sure you congratulate them. They haven't been married as long as Floyd and Millie, but, you know, I think they got married before they even had printed marriage licenses. So we have to take Floyd's word for it that she said I do. Now, how many years ago was that, Floyd? 29? 62 years. Amen. Hallelujah. That's awesome. All right. Continuing on Wednesday nights, Pastor Steve is here teaching on revival. So that's here in the at 6:30, and then May 3rd. Huh? Did I hear something? No, it was Gary. I thought maybe I missed something. May 3rd at 1 p.m. The ladies have their Bible study here, so at 1 o'clock, make sure you're here. Coming events. There's a wedding coming this Saturday. Apparently, Dawn Jones has agreed to marry me, so she needs prayer, okay? She needs prayer. She's marrying me. So that's going to be here next Saturday at 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Memorial Day is the 30th, and then we get into next month. So there's some anniversaries again next month, Pastor Steve and Jerry Lenz, and then there's Father's Day, Flag Day, Memorial Day. Busy month. So how many of you are just excited just to love Jesus? Amen. Amen. Are you excited just to love Jesus? Are you excited that you have legs and feet and shoes? Good. All stand to your feet and let's pray if you're capable. Let's stand up and let's just take these other requests to the Lord. Father God. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity today, Lord, to stand here in your presence, to worship you, to be part of what you're doing in Grace Harbor. We thank you, Lord, that we are your body. We are members of your body. Each and every one of us in this room has a purpose, Father, that you've called us for. So I pray the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon every one of us, Father, in the ministry of Jesus Christ to proclaim your goodness and your love. We pray for these needs this morning, Lord, for the unspoken ones. We pray for Roy, for Steve. We pray for those that aren't here. We pray for Diana. Lord, they need a touch from you today, Lord God. They need a miracle from you. And Lord Jesus, we're going to trust in you that you will intervene into their lives, that they will be fruit. We will hear the testimonies of the fruit of your healing virtue in their bodies. We thank you for that and for the other needs here, Lord. We just pray that you would meet those needs, Lord, that those that need restoration, those that need a financial touch, that those that need a healing in this room, Lord, that you will touch them, that you will restore them. So we thank you for it. And we thank you for the word this morning, Lord God, that we would just receive from the Holy Spirit what you have for us. So it would go into our spirit and we could plant that seed somewhere else. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So Pastor Steve is going to come and share the word with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mike and Tiffany and Joy and Gary. It was a good worship service. Jesus. You know, sometimes you just need to spend time in the presence of the Lord, church.
Amen.
Sometimes you just need to be able to sing to him and to cast your cares on him, for he does care for you. And as you sing and as you worship, God does things in his presence that will be done much quicker than any other time. It's just hard to describe until you've been there. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness.
Yes.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us as orphans, Lord, but you have adopted us and you have given us that spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, thank you that we, our spirit bears witness with yours and yours with ours that we are your children. Thank you, Lord, as I said at the beginning of service, you are for us. You are not against us. And Lord, I just pray that that would be deposited into every heart and life this morning, Lord, that we would know that you are more for us than even we are for ourselves, that you desire to see the completion of your redemption in our life. Lord, the work that you begin, you complete. And I pray, Lord, that we would participate in that with faith and joy and expectation in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the title for my message is Prepare Your Heart. Prepare Your Heart. As I get into it, we'll be in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. I just want to share a little bit about, I may have to move the camera one more time, Jason. Just realized we're off center, but oh well. On Wednesday nights, I am teaching on revival, but I have a book that I was using as a background for the topic on revival. The book goes through 16 revivals in the Bible and just lays down biblical principles for how God brings revival, whether in a nation or to an individual. But my desire for Wednesday night Bible study is for God to refresh and to renew us as his people. There is so much static and noise in this world, so much bad news in this world, that we need to be able to gather together, church. And I would pray that whether our worship teams gets all healed up or whole, but even that we would eventually have worship for some time period. Usually it starts at 6:30, we end about 7:30. But it's to have times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We need that, church, so very badly. We need it. The people of God to be gathered together in hunger and expectation. I asked the church family on Wednesday to get a little notebook or a big one, I don't care. And this week in your time and your walk with the Lord, just to jot down a note, something that would that you could then share briefly Wednesday night about what is God speaking to you? What rhema revelation, what word of revelation has God encouraged you with? Because I just know God will do something good. And so with revival, this church was founded in a large way through revival, but I believe God wants to do something new in our hearts. Amen. Amen. God wants to do something new in our hearts, not something off the script, though, or that's not biblical. God wants to do something that he has been desiring to do from the time that he allowed us to be born into this world, that he would bring about his change and his transformation in our hearts. It comes, though, as we gather together in his presence, as we feed upon the word of God. In Mark chapter 4, we have the parable of the four soils, and it's such an elementary parable, but yet I believe it is very applicable to what we are going through today. So if you're there, say amen, and we're going to begin to read Mark chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And then Jesus taught them many things in parables, and said to them in his teaching, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But I need my glasses. Who can let me borrow their glasses? I brought my big print Bible. Thank you. I'm so sorry you can't read yours now. I brought my big print. I was like, I'll get away with it now. But no, it's red letters and it's hard to read. Do I look distinguished as Pastor Tom now? Not quite as good. My wife won't let me shave my head. She won't let me do it. Some fell on the stony... What was that?
That was really good.
Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. Some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop and sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Parables are much more than an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus told parables to get the listener to be deeply involved in his teaching. It compels the listener to make a personal decision about God's truth. When Jesus is speaking here in verse 12 about that seeing they would see but not perceive, and hearing they would hear and not understand, it seems perplexing. Well, I thought God was not willing that any should perish, and so why would he make his teachings in parables where you would have people who would see and hear but not see or understand and be converted? It's for a simple reason that a parable, it is meant to draw us in. There was many people who would listen casually and they would make a quick decision about the Lord, but he wanted to give these parables as a story that would draw us into the message of the kingdom that he has for us. And this parable of these four stories is very memorable, but it also calls for a decision on our part for how will we respond to the Word of God. I want to remind you of something I preached on a few years ago, that God's promises come to you in seed form. Everybody say seed form.
Seed form.
All of God's promises come in the form of a seed. Do not mistake the seed, though, for the harvest. Why is this important? Because God's promises of salvation, God's promises of his love and his forgiveness, God's promise of eternal life, it comes to us in the form of a seed, but oftentimes we see the seed and we neglect the seed. We don't understand the power that is available in that little seed, that little nugget of truth, that if you will hold on to God's truth and allow it to be buried in your heart, that seed is going to sprout up. How's Brian doing? Is he here?
He's not here today, no.
All right, I'm sorry. I just noticed that she's here. Lord, we pray for Brian Shoemate. God bless Brian and Amy and the Shoemate family. Lord, if he's listening or watching, God, we pray healing in Brian's life, Lord, and just encourage that family in Jesus' name. Amen. God's seed, his word, his promises, church, it comes and it's scattered everywhere. It says that the farmer goes and he's scattering his seed. You would think like the farmer's going to be super careful and I'm going to only plant in good soil, but God's message, it's scattered abroad. Indiscriminately, it's scattered on the wayside. It's scattered on four different types of soil that I want us to get into here. And the first type of soil is the wayside soil. He's going to explain this parable here in verse 13. He says to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown on their hearts." The wayside is indicative of a hard heart, but the wayside is the pathway that people are walking across. If you're on a pathway, I've got a gravel driveway going down to my house and the cars drive over it all the time. Sadly, the UPS guy and the man, they just go barreling down that thing. We got pothole galores in it. But that driveway is very compact. It's very hardened. In a similar way, if you're on a trail out in the forest, and if a lot of people walk that trail, that dirt gets very hard, does it not? I was reading a couple commentaries on this. The primary two I used this morning was a guy named Matthew Henry. I talk about him from time to time. And another pastor guy named Warren Wiersbe. He's a Baptist minister of all people. Great guy, great Bible teacher. He talked about the wayside, though, the pathway that's trodden. And he cautioned us that we are not to allow people to have access to our heart with all of their thoughts, their ideas, their philosophies, their opinions, that if we just open our life to everybody to walk into our life and to, in a way, to walk all over us, we are bombarded today in the news media. We are bombarded today with ideas of every sort. And as these ideas come, what does it do? It hardens the soil of our heart. Jesus said that Satan then comes and he steals, he snatches the word that was sown out of our heart. How does Satan come and take the word out of our hearts? He comes and he takes the word out of our heart through offense. Remember Judas Iscariot who betrayed Jesus? Why would he do that? Do you remember when the woman who had the alabaster box of ointment, when she broke that alabaster box of ointment and she poured it on Jesus' head? And what was the disciples' response? Why was this wasted and not sold and given to the poor? And Jesus rebuked them and said, hey, leave her alone. You always are going to have the poor with me, but she has wrought a good work on me. And what she has done is going to be told as a memorial for her for all generations. Well, it says after that took place that Judas, he went out and conspired to betray Jesus. What happened? I believe Judas was offended with Jesus. Why? He had the money bag. He was like, he didn't care about the poor. He wanted that perfume sold so he could dip his hand in the money bag. But Jesus rebuked him publicly. He took offense at that, and he went and betrayed Jesus. So how does Satan snatch the word out of our hearts? When you're at work, when you're at home, in your family situations, do you ever have opportunities to become offended with those around you? Sadly, we do every day. And you're not going to see Satan necessarily with the pitchfork and the horns and in the red costume that people put him in. No, Satan, he operates sadly through people and through relationships most often. And so God plants his word, his seed. His word is an imperishable seed. It's indestructible. His seed brings life. And so Satan, though, he comes and he sees that seed of God's salvation that is planted in you, and he says, I want to snatch that seed out of your heart. And how does he do that? He'll get you offended with somebody, mad at somebody, angry at somebody, bitter with somebody, having a critical spirit. He'll get pride in our hearts, all sorts of ways that we walk into sin, and as a result of that sin in our hearts, Satan snatches the word out of our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence. How do you guard your heart with all diligence? Don't allow just anything to come into your eye gate and your ear gate. Why? Because if God's word is comparable to a seed, I want to tell you that the news and the opinions and the philosophies and the ideas that we are bombarded with, those are comparable to seeds as well. And if we allow them to get inside of our heart, those seeds are going to grow, and we're going to learn here in a short bit. They're going to do something to God's word. David said in Psalms 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so here with the parable of the four soils, the wayside represents the hardened heart that is just trampled constantly by people. You can't allow just everybody to have input into your life. The primary one who should have input into your life is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Got one amen and one that's right. The primary person that we should allow to have input into our life is the Lord Jesus Christ through his word.
Amen. Amen.
Satan's a liar. He's the father of lies. And his lies are comparable to seeds, by the way. And we see that evidenced in people's lives, that an idea, a thought comes into their mind, and it gets planted and rooted. And if they meditate upon those thoughts, those ideas, those philosophies, they begin to spring up and take root in their life. And as a result, Satan snatches the word out of their heart. For time, I can't go through it, but Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 talks about the man who does not stand in the path of sinners nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his word he meditates day and night. Why? Because God's word is powerful. The second soil that Jesus brings up here in Mark chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and these likewise are the ones who are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble or they are offended. The stony ground is a shallow heart. These are those who hear the word, but they are not doers of the word. These are the people who hear the word of God, but they don't put the word of God into practice. They have no root in themselves. I am greatly concerned, church, that how many people, when they hear the message of salvation or, hey, you want to go to heaven? I mean, who in their right mind would not want to go to heaven? Who in their right mind would not want God's healing? Who in their right mind would not want God's blessing? It causes a lot of joy and rejoicing in people's hearts of like, yeah, who wouldn't want forgiveness? But God's word, it comes and it costs us something. We have to submit to the word of God. We have to surrender to the word of God. We have to allow God's word to get deep in our hearts. Not just on a shallow confession of faith, not just on a shallow level where we say, Lord, yeah, I'll go to church and I want to go to heaven, but I'm not going to allow the word to have any depth in my life, to do anything and make any changes in my life. There's an immediate response of joy, but they have no roots. The joy is short-lived, and as soon as trouble comes in their life, they stumble and they're offended. How do you deepen and allow God's word to go deeper in your heart? Through meditation and by spending time in God's word. God wants to go deep in our hearts to bring about the transformation that only he can bring. Many people do not understand the price that is to be paid if you want God's word to go deep in your heart. What is the price to be paid? Paul the Apostle said that I am crucified with Christ. Are you crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. There is a cost, church, that if God's word is going to go deep into our life and not just at the surface level, God wants to get to the very innermost part of our being, that which motivates us, that which moves us, that which is the very reason for why we live. And God wants that word to get buried in there in order to bring a transformation. And so here, those in the shallow ground, it says that they only endure for a while. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they are offended, they stumble, and they leave Christ. They want to partake of the benefits of God's word without the sacrifice that is required to experience and enjoy the benefits of God's word. What is the sacrifice required? A prayer life. Prayer life. How many of you have a prayer life? I think we do when the car is like ready to hit us or something like that. But that's not the kind of prayer life I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the prayer life of, oh, crumb, Lord, I'm in a pickle, I'm in trouble. I'm talking about a prayer life that isn't simply praying about other people or other things, but a prayer life that is more saying, Lord, would you change me? There's a lot of aggravation, and I'll say sadly, I'll repent again up front, that I have been deeply aggravated by what I see happening in this world. And God often convicts me, and I repent publicly up here to say, but Lord, I need to say, God, you need to change me and my heart. Is there a lot of wrong happening out there? Yeah. But when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I am going to stand and give an account for my life, for my thought life, for what I meditate upon, for what I speak, for my obedience or my disobedience. I'm not going to be able to stand up there and say, but God, you brought that guy Scott into this church, and it's all his fault. He's the reason why I'm all bent out of shape. And Lord's like, Scott has nothing to do with this, Stephen. You're here standing before me. And so, church, if we want to experience the benefits of God's word, we have to be willing to sacrifice and do what a farmer does. Anybody a farmer in here? Raise their hand. You got Millie. Millie's the only one. A little bit. You guys grow a little bit. Is it a lot of work to raise crops? It takes time. It takes effort. You don't just scatter seed in the garden and then just leave it and hope it's going to grow here in about 3 or 4 months. No, you have to till the soil. Remember the first ground, the wayside? Well, often when there's that deadpan and there's that hardened soil, you have to get a plow and you have to get underneath that soil and break up that fallow, hard ground. Oftentimes, though, I find even in my life, church, we don't want to allow God to have the time to break up our fallow, hard ground in our life. God, I'm busy. Lord, I'm raising a family. Lord, I'm just trying to survive. I don't have time for you to search me and to try me and to know my thoughts and to see if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, I don't have time for that. Lord, I'm just trying to get through the day. And the Lord's like, but I have a harvest that I want to bring in your life. I've got fruit that I want to bring into your life. And so will we allow the Holy Spirit to plow up things in our life? When I think of a plow, I think of disruption. It's a disrupting experience. I don't want a plow, a physical plow going into me. But when you plow up that soil and you till up that soil, all of a sudden things that are underneath and hidden come to the surface. Maybe there's hidden resentment. Maybe there's hidden unforgiveness. Maybe there is a hidden sense of pride that, you know what, until that plow goes into that heart and begins to dig it up and to churn that soil, we're like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that those things were in there. And the Lord convicts us, and he brings in the plow by his word. Our priorities, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The plow of God's word comes in with our priorities. Says, all right, son, where's your priorities at? Well, Lord, you're my first priority. And God says, really? Are you really my first priority? Well, I want you to be my first priority, Lord. Yes. Thank you for being honest, son. Lord, how can I make you my first priority? How about the first thing when you pick up in the morning, don't pick up that phone. Don't pick up that tablet. Don't pick up that remote control. How about the first thing that you pick up in the morning? But I got to see if the world's falling apart, Lord. What are they doing next? If you want to make me your priority and let my plow go in deep, you know what? Evil men are going to grow worse and worse in the last days. But you're going to stand before God to give an account. Why don't you pick up the plow of my word before you get all the cares and the concerns of this world in your heart and make me your priority in my life?
Amen.
God wants to plow up the soil of our heart, church. And I understand being a father of four and working and raising family and trying to pastor a church. I understand busyness. I understand distractions. And I'm coming to the realization that, Lord, in some ways, I wish I could throw all the technology away. Because I look at mighty men and women of God of old and just even the saints of God of old, and I realize, Lord, their walk with you was so much closer than anything I could ever dream of. But why? They had to set things aside and make time for God. There's no quick fix for a quick spirituality. There's no quick fix for revival. Like, okay, Lord, I mentioned on Wednesday night, I was not degrading, minimizing what God can do in a moment at an altar. Please say amen.
Amen.
But I'll say in the 90s and early 2000s, for this guy, in my young Christian walk, I wanted somebody to lay hands on me, and I wanted that experience and that encounter to change me and to do the work that now I'm coming to learn that God was actually wanting me to have a part in. Lord, let that evangelist lay hands on me, and I just want them just to pray for the fire of God in my heart. And God can do that. I'm not minimizing it by any means, but that doesn't take away my responsibility for obedience. And to say, Lord, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to keep that phone plugged in and maybe move it to a different room if the pastor can't, because if you guys call. Keep it plugged in and where I can't get to it. Lord, I want to open this book first. Those on the wayside, those on the stony ground, we've talked about two soils here, that here what happens is that there are some who have no depth. What is the work to do? The prayer life, study, meditation, application, and allowing God to bring change into our life. How has God changed you, and how is he changing you? I'm going to say this again. How has God changed you? I'm not talking about simply your salvation experience, but how is God changing you right now? As a parent, I'm challenged that, Lord, I have a lot of changing to do. I won't get into that right now. But some of you are going through some incredible trials right now that, you know what? God wants to bring change in your life. I'll leave this lady nameless. She knows who I'm talking about as soon as I mention the story. I have this lady, this friend who's living in a very difficult home environment whose kids are very difficult. And I would say, you know what, when you're in a very challenging situation, I think if we're going to let God's word go deep into our heart, say, Lord, change me. We have some guys and gals that you live in a close environment. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, change me.
Amen.
I can't control what this guy does. I can't control what this guy does. Never will be able to. God, would you change me? God, would you cause me to begin to take time and to ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, where I'm praying not simply for you to fix everything outside of me, but God, that I would take time for ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and with your power, Lord, that you would change my heart, my mind, my attitude, my will, my habits, Lord. How has God changed you, and how is he changing you? If your only experience is your salvation experience, well, I want to tell you what God did. That's awesome. But for the seed to go deep and to get past that shallow soil, God wants to be changing us from glory to glory day by day. He wants that plow to go deep, and he wants to till the soil, and he wants to see a continual change in our life. Amen.
Amen.
We get to the next soil. And I think most of us can identify with all three of these. But here he talks about those who are sown among the thorns, verse 18. These are the ones who hear the word of God, but the cares of this world. The cares, I looked it up in a fancy Greek dictionary. It's worry, anxiety, and stress in view of possible danger. The cares of this world, the worry, anxiety, and stress in view of possible danger. It says the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Other things, the cares, the anxieties, the worries, the stresses, the desires for money, desires for even just other things, they steal our time. They steal the space in the garden. They steal the nutrients out of the soil that was intended for the seed of God's word. And eventually those thorns choke. They stifle the word of God. Now that's amazing, because God's word is living, active, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's imperishable. And what God is saying here is that it's really by his grace that if we surrender or don't, and if we acknowledge these things, that we, through our choices, can stifle the life out of God's word as far as its effectiveness in our life. That's humbling. That's sobering. To say, wait a second, Lord. If I said I had a pill that could cure cancer, I think anybody who had cancer would want that pill, wouldn't they? But then what if I told you, well, this pill only works, but you have to get rid of your sugar. You got to get rid of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, or whatever. You have to get rid of this and that and all the pies and the cake and the cookies and all that. Because the moment you begin to eat those things, it's going to just negate the power of that little cancer-killing pill. Well, Lord, I'm going to take the pill. But Lord, I'm going to be drinking my pop. Lord, I'm going to take that pill and I want it to be effective in my life. But Lord, I'm going to do all these things. How about gasoline? I'm stopping. All I'll say about gasoline, you can have gasoline in your car, but what if you add water to the tank? Going to be a bad idea. Please don't do it. Horrible idea. Don't do it. Church, we can be putting God's word into our heart, putting the gas in the tank. But if we are filling the tank with tons of other things, we're not going to have an effective Christian walk with the Lord. And we'll be saying, but I'm doing the right thing. I go to the gas pump every day. I have my morning devotions. And the Lord says, yeah, you finish your morning devotions, but then you get on the phone and you start complaining to Betty Sue. You get on Facebook and then you start reading and you start doing all this stuff on that, and you're adding stuff. And you're diluting the power of God's word in your life. And we're like, but I'm doing all I know how to do. Lord's like, yeah, you are, but man, you got thorns in your life. What are the thorns? The worry, the anxieties, the cares, the concerns of fearful things happening in the future. And that's truly on the horizon today as never before. But here God says, hey, don't let that stifle the word of God. Church, I'm aware of inflation. I'm aware of what's happening in this nation. But I'm also choosing to meditate that, God, you took care of a couple million people in the wilderness. Lord, I am aware of what's happening in our country, but Lord, I want to begin to meditate not just on the fearful, horrible things, but God, I want to meditate upon, Lord, you gave us the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Is God faithful? Yeah. Lord, we've had abundance. Praise God for the abundance. You know what? If there's scarce times, though, I think the Lord knew in his prayer when he says, Lord, would you give me this day my daily bread? That, Lord, you will show yourself to be faithful somehow, some way in my life. And I can meditate upon that, Lord, and I can consider the birds of the air, that, Lord, that they're not all worried and they're not all concerned, that, Lord, our Heavenly Father, you feed those birds. Lord, you will certainly take care of me somehow, some way. Please say amen.
Amen.
Riches, the desires for other things, it chokes the Word of God in our life. When you pump gas every time, I want you to think about, am I putting water in my tank right afterwards? If I do that, I'm going to ruin the motor. In the same way, God's Word is super powerful and effective, but if we are flooding our lives with ideas and thoughts and opinions of this world, we are literally negating the power of God's Word and its effect in our life. And God doesn't want that to happen. He loves us. The last soil and the best one. And this is what I'm praying for each of us, church, is that we'll get to verse 20. But these are the ones that are sown on good ground, those who hear the word of God, receive it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. There are varying degrees of fruitfulness. What determines the degree of productivity? Joyful, prompt, continual obedience to the word of God. What determines the degree of productivity in our life is our joyful, prompt, and continual obedience to the Word of God. Jesus said, he who loves me will keep my commandments. I think the first three soils, a common denominator with their life, is they were hearers of the Word of God. They listened to it. The first soil, Satan, though, came and snatched the Word out of their life through distractions, all sorts of bad stuff, just through the sin of this life. The second soil, it was very shallow, and they never allowed God to go deep in their life. God wants to go deeper. How is he going to go deeper? You have to have a prayer life, church. How do you have a prayer life? You just begin. I'll share with you, when I was in Bible college, not everyone gets to go to Bible college, but this doesn't matter. I would go into the basement of this church I was going to in downtown Seattle. I actually talked the pastor to give me the keys to the church. And I would drive early in the morning or late at night sometimes, and I would go into the basement of that church. It was the Carpenters Union building, downtown Seattle. Just hard floors, brick walls, and I'd bring my little boombox, and I'd put on some worship music, and I would begin to pray, and I would begin to read God's Word. And you know what? That time when I made that decision to actually begin to pray and to let God go deeper in my life, God began to bring transformation in my life. Fast forward now, 25, 30 years later, I have found that the thorns are trying to choke out God's word. I have found that Satan is trying to trod down my ground through all the stuff on the news, the thoughts and opinions and all the things happening in this world. He's trying to harden that ground. Like, worry about this, worry about that, look what's coming, this is horrible news, and all of his ideas and thoughts, Satan is stomping on that ground. Why? Because he doesn't want God's word to have a soft soil that's fertile and ready to bear fruit. And so I have to recognize this, that even as a pastor, I'd be very open with you, church, that for all of us, God wants to bring transformation in our life. Prepare your hearts. My desire is for God to somehow bring a revival into our hearts and lives that would not only affect us, but then would spill over to affect those around us. But until God does something in us where it's not just, hey, look what the Lord did 40 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago, there needs to be a continual changing, growing, maturing process taking place in our life, that it's a fresh, new, vital relationship with the Lord. That's what the Lord wants. God wants fruit in our life, church. I close with this, as I said at the beginning. Thank you for your glasses. God is more for you than you are for yourself. But we have to be willing to have a reckoning, so to say. We have to be willing to be honest at where we're at in our relationship with God to say, Lord, which soil am I? Lord, I don't want to just assume that I'm the good soil. Lord, either there is fruit, good fruit in my life, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of a close, living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ, and abiding with Him and His presence and His love that brings a stability and peace in my life. If that fruit's not there, the only possible answer is then I'm one of the three other soils. And Lord, if I'm honest about that, then Lord, then you can finally begin to do the work. Lord, have I been allowing Satan to steal your word from my heart? Lord, have I been growing shallow in my walk with you and not giving you the time that you need? Lord, have I been allowing the thorns to choke and to stifle God's word in my life? Lord, if I have, today is the day of repentance and to let that plow go in and to say, Lord, I want true change to begin to happen in my life. Lord, I want to have a fruitful relationship with you that would not only be a blessing in my life, but Lord, if there is fruit in my life, it's going to be a blessing to other people. If you have a peach tree, a pear tree, an orange tree, an apple tree in Washington, of course, you know what the neat thing about that apple tree is? It not only blesses you, but it blesses others around them. God doesn't want our relationship to only be a blessing for us personally. Church, when you allow God to go deeper in your life will be a blessing to those around you. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Lord, I thank you that your desire is to bring fruit in our lives, God. Lord, the fruit of a daily, living, vitally active, growing, flourishing relationship with you. Lord, all of us in this room are buffeted daily by the things of this world, whether it's the cares, the concerns, the desires, the news all around us. God, I pray that we would heed and listen to this word from the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, that, Lord, that we would examine our hearts and to say, Holy Spirit, which soil does our life represent? Lord, I don't want a quick examination just to say, oh, I'm the good soil. Lord, if my heart has grown hardened, calloused, Lord, if my heart has become overgrown with the weeds and the thorns and the thistles of this world, Lord, help me to allow you the time and, Lord, even me to participate, Lord, to get my hands dirty, so to say, Lord, it's time to uproot those weeds. It's time to uproot those thorny bushes and to stop allowing them to steal the preciousness of what you have for my life. God, I pray that you would bring a great revival in this church, a great awakening. Lord, what does that mean to me? Lord, it means that we would be having a flourishing relationship with you. Lord, that we would have fruit that would abound in our life, that would not only be a blessing to ourselves, but Lord, more importantly, to all those around us. God, I pray for a great revival, Lord, an awakening of your Spirit in this church, Lord, that would then spill over into the community, into our homes, in our families, Lord, next. For Lord, if it doesn't affect our families, Lord, what is it good for? Lord, I pray that you would bring healing and restoration into families and homes. Lord, between parents and children, husbands and wives, Lord, that you would bring about a positive change in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to hunger for a depth in our relationship with you. Lord, that we wouldn't settle for a shallow profession, but Lord, that we would say, Lord, I want heaven in my heart. Jesus, I want you to live and to dwell in my life, Lord, in such a strong way, Lord, that you would cause me to change and to grow from glory to glory in Jesus' name. With every eye closed and heads bowed this morning, church, this is a work that you're going to need to do when you're home, a prayerful attitude. But who in this room would just say, you know what, I would like for my heart to be that good soil, but I just want to acknowledge that, Lord, I'm kind of concerned that my heart, Lord, it probably represents one of the first three soils more than the fourth soil. And this morning, Lord, I want you, by your good Holy Spirit and the Word of God, to take your plow and to begin to turn the soil of my heart. Lord, I want you to begin to till it and to fertilize it, Lord, and to make it, Lord, more receptive to your Word in Jesus' name. If that's you and you say, yep, Lord, that's me, my heart is more like the first three soils, would you raise your hand? Anybody here? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your honesty. Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Lord, I know that it's time when we typically leave and we are going to dismiss here shortly. But Lord, I just want to pause here right now, Lord, that we won't be so quick, Lord, just to run off and to forget this word. Lord, we haven't simply done some duty. Okay, I've done my church duty for the week. Lord, you want to bring fruit, lasting change, new change into our life. Lord, there are those in here who have walked with you for 40, 50 years. Lord, you want to do a new thing in their life. God, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit in abundant measure. Lord, I pray that you would shine your light into every hidden crack, every crevice, Lord, in the hardness of our hearts, Lord. Lord, in the great love that you have for us, Lord. Lord, that you would give us a vision of the picture of what you have planned for our life. Lord, help us to embrace that, to hold on to it, Lord, to run after it, Lord. Help us, Lord, to work and to labor for that, Lord, even as a farmer labors in his fields, that we would labor, Lord, in the soil of our heart, God, that your word would be very productive in Jesus' name. Lord, as we prepare to leave this sanctuary, Lord, I pray that you would go with us, Lord. Lord, we invite you into our cars, into our homes, our rooms, every nook and cranny of our hearts, Lord. We invite you, Holy Spirit, that you would do the work and show us the work that you want us to do as well, in Jesus' name. If you need Jesus this morning for salvation, if you need to come back because you're a prodigal, raising your hand doesn't save you. Coming to the front of an altar doesn't save you. But it's the first step in a walk of obedience to the Lord to acknowledge, Lord, I need to come to you, Jesus. So if you need salvation for the first time, or if you've been walking away from the Lord, and this morning you just want to acknowledge that and to make the first steps to be back in that relationship with the Lord, I invite you to these altars as we close in prayer, and we would love to pray for you. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had this morning. Thank you for the worship team. Lord, we thank you for Steve and Charlene and for Judy and for all those who are not able to be here. God, heal them and strengthen them. And Lord, go before us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. If you need, pardon?
Can we wait just a minute before we go?
Mm-hmm. Hold on, church. Hold on.
This morning on the way to church, we were looking at all the people that are sick that were here this morning, weren't able to have worship. And Paul said, do you think our church is under attack? And I sit there and begin to think and pray. And God began to show me that this body is under attack. Well, why? Because we have a pastor that loves the Lord, that he wants to see revival. And folks, revival isn't all around. It's right here inside of each one of us. That fire for the love of Christ has to come back into our hearts. And as he preaches the word that he's preaching, and that begins to happen, it makes the devil mad, folks. And believe me, each one of you are as susceptible to falling as anybody else is. We have to draw closer to God. And folks, right now, then I think that we really need to pray for our pastor and his family, because I know that Satan attacks them every day. And they need the protection of our prayers. And right now, I'd like for the elders to come. Pastor Tom, where are you?
Right here.
Come here. Is Tim here? Tim, okay. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thomas, you want to lead us in prayer?
Hallelujah. Father God, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we pray, Father God, that your anointing that is on Pastor Steve, Father God, would be increased. Father God, for these days ahead, Lord, as we walk into these days ahead where there'll be more trials, more situations, there'll be more things happening throughout the body that Pastor Steve will have to attend to, we pray, Lord, that you would give him the anointing to overcome those things. And Father God, that you will give him a word in each time that he needs to have that word. We thank you for it. We pray a blessing on him. We pray a blessing on his family, protection over his family, protection over Jerry Lynn, protection over the kids, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that as you anoint this family with the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God, that they will stand strong, even in times of trial, that the word of God will always be on their lips, and they will always be proclaimed to those around them. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.